Psalms 90, verse 13, through Psalms 92, verse 5. Return, O Yahweh, how long? O be sorry for your servants. Satisfy us in the morning with your loving commitment, and let us sing for joy all our days. Give us joy according to the days you have afflicted us, the years we have seen evil. Reveal your work to your servants, and your splendor to their children. And let the pleasantness of Yahweh, our Elohim, be upon us.
Welcome to His Word Heals. You can also visit us online at www.hiswordheals.com for all of our past programs, a healing scripture CD, books, and more. Today we're going to talk about a subject that is related to this past week's Torah portion, and that Torah portion, of course, was in Leviticus, and it's all about the sacrifices, the different kinds of sacrifices that the Levitical priests were told by Yahweh to do. And so what we're going to do is look at how, yes, our Abba does desire sacrifice, however, He desires mercy above sacrifice, and Yeshua makes that very clear in a couple of different passages where He is also quoting the Old Testament. So mercy was not something new that all of a sudden now our Abba wants mercy in the New Testament. No, He always wanted mercy. He always desired mercy over sacrifice. So let's take a look first at a couple of scriptures in Matthew. Matthew 9:13, but we're going to start in verse 11. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said to His disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" When Yeshua heard that, He said to them, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice, for I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." Now we're going to go over to Matthew 12:7. And Matthew 12 is all about, starting in verse 1, when Yeshua's disciples were walking through the grain fields on the Sabbath, and they were plucking heads of grain because they were hungry and eating the grain. And of course, you're not supposed to harvest on the Sabbath. And so the Pharisees had made even more strict rules that said you could not even pluck grain on the Sabbath and eat it as you're walking through a field. And it is perfectly legal, according to Scripture, as you're passing through someone's field, to pluck grain or grapes or whatever you need, not harvest and take home and store, but to pluck it as you go on your way so that you have food on your journey. That is one of the merciful things that our Abba allows, that we're supposed to allow. And so that's what the disciples were doing as they were following Yeshua on Shabbat. So what does Yeshua say to the Pharisees when they basically condemn the disciples for plucking grain on Shabbat? Yeshua says, "Have you not read what David did when he was hungry, he and those who were with him, how he entered the house of Elohim and ate the show bread, which is not lawful for him to eat, nor for those who were with him, but only for the priests?" So this was the show bread that was set apart. It was holy to the priests. "Or have you not read in the law that on the Sabbath the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath and are blameless? Yet I say to you that in this place there is one greater than the temple. But if you had known what this means, 'I desire mercy and not sacrifice,' you would not have condemned the guiltless. For the Son of Man is master even of the Sabbath." So again, He is quoting the Old Testament or scripture that was already written where our Abba says, "I desire mercy and not sacrifice." Now, before we look at the Old Testament scriptures that Yeshua was quoting, I want to go to a couple more New Testament scriptures, Romans 7:14-25. "For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For what I am doing, I do not understand. For what I will to do or what I want to do, I do not do or I do not practice. But what I hate, that is what I do. If then I do what I don't want to do, I agree with the law that it is good. But now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells. For to will is present with me," meaning I want to do these things, "but how to perform what is good I do not find. For the good that I want to do, I do not do, but the evil that I don't want to do, that is what I practice. Now if I do what I don't want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. I find then a law that evil is present with me, the one who wills to do good. For I delight in the law of Elohim according to the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? I thank Elohim through Yeshua, Messiah, our Master. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of Elohim, but with the flesh the law of sin. So this is why we constantly need His mercy, and we thank Yeshua so much for what He did for us, that He is merciful to us, and that when we desire to do right, but maybe we lost our temper, and then all of a sudden we feel bad about it, and we really didn't want to lose our temper. And I caught myself this past week, I saw something that my husband was doing, and I didn't think it was a good idea, but I knew, I believe that my Abba put in my mind, no, don't say anything about it, just be quiet and let him do what he's doing. And it wasn't anything bad, it was just something that I thought wasn't being done right. So I knew that I should not say anything as I sat there watching him. And I heard from Abba, be quiet, don't say anything. And I was trying to bite my tongue, and all of a sudden it just came out. I did not want to say it, but my flesh beat my mind and the knowledge of what Elohim had said, and I had to repent. And of course, when I did say the thing that I said, it didn't please my husband either. And anyway, so I had to repent. And so this just really hit home that we need to give ourselves mercy when we mess up, even when we knew ahead of time that we didn't want to do something and we did it anyway. We need to fight those urges, absolutely, but we do need to have mercy on others and mercy for ourselves, just as Yeshua does when we mess up, because we are still fighting imperfect flesh. We are still in the flesh, but our mind and our soul and our spirit desire to do the things, to do the will of our Abba, to walk in the spirit and not walk in the flesh. And the more we walk in the spirit, the less we will walk in the flesh. Now we'll turn to Matthew 5, 17 through 20. Do not think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill or to fill up. And this, of course, is Yeshua speaking. For assuredly, I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle will by no means pass from the law till all is fulfilled. Whoever therefore breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches men so shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does and teaches them, he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. Yes, he is saying the law is all still in effect. How would we know we're sinning if we don't have the law to compare our actions to? And we should certainly try to do right and try to walk in the Spirit and do the best we can and repent immediately. And the reason for this, it's not a salvation issue, because we are saved because of what Yeshua did through the first Adam. All sin and all die. However, there's also another passage, and I don't have it looked up right now, but we all know it, I'm sure, that through Yeshua, the second Adam, all are made alive. So we are made alive eternally through Yeshua if we believe in Him and accept His sacrifice. Our salvation is not the issue here. What does He say the issue is that has to deal with the law? Those who break the law and teach others to break the law will be least in the kingdom of heaven. So what does that mean? Well, what would we consider our least desirable job right now? Think of something that you would not want as your career or your job, something that maybe does not have very much responsibility or prestige. We've all had these jobs probably in the past, and we want to better ourselves and get different jobs. And what comes to mind is, in the kingdom, there's still going to be menial labor, such as janitorial services, cleaning toilets, sweeping streets, sweeping floors, washing windows. In the kingdom, in the millennial kingdom, there will still be those kinds of jobs and the need for people to do those jobs. And I believe that's what he means. Least in the kingdom, you're still going to be there, whether we make it into the millennial kingdom or into eternity. Yeshua is the one who is our salvation. It's because of him that we are worthy. However, there are rewards and there is status and there is a hierarchy in the kingdom, so to speak. If you break his laws and teach others to do so, you will be least in the kingdom of heaven. And so this is our opportunity to lay up our treasures in heaven by doing the best that we can to teach others to be righteous, to teach others to follow the law, as well as especially teach ourselves to follow the laws. So let's start out in the Old Testament reading 1 Samuel 15 verses 22 and 23. So Samuel said to Saul, "Has Yahweh as great a delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of Yahweh? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of Yahweh, he has also rejected you from being king." So we saw that he desires mercy more than sacrifice. He also desires obedience more than sacrifice. So obedience and mercy need to be tempered against one another and really need to be taken to Yahweh in prayer. Next, we'll read Hosea 6:1 through 6:6. "Come and let us return to Yahweh, for he has torn, but he will heal us." That's his mercy. "He has stricken, but he will bind us up. After 2 days, he will revive us. On the third day, he will raise us up, that we may live in his sight." And that is all his mercy. "Let us know, let us pursue the knowledge of Yahweh. His going forth is established as the morning. He will come to us like the rain, like the latter and the former rain to the earth. O Ephraim, what shall I do to you? O Judah, what shall I do to you? For your faithfulness is like a morning cloud, and like the early dew it goes away. Therefore I have hewn them by the prophets, I have slain them by the words of my mouth, and your judgments are like light going forth." And then he says, "For I desire mercy and not sacrifice, and the knowledge of Elohim more than burnt offerings." And he goes on to tell them what they've been doing that caused the judgment to come upon them. He desires mercy and not sacrifice. He shows us mercy, especially compared to the transgressions that he goes on to list. They're evildoers, they're defiled with blood, bands of robbers lie in wait for a man, a company of priests murders on the way to Shechem, they commit lewdness, just a whole list of horrible things where both Ephraim and Judah, the northern and southern kingdoms, were not showing people mercy. They were not living according to mercy. Instead, they were being merciless to people. And so that's why he says that his judgments go forth as a light to show the rest of the world that he desires mercy from his people. And he does eventually show us mercy, but he has to correct us first. Now we'll go to Micah chapter 6, verses 6 through 8. "With what shall I come before Yahweh and bow myself before the high Elohim? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will Yahweh be pleased with thousands of rams, 10,000 rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has shown you, O man, what is good. And what does Yahweh require of you? But to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your Elohim." That's what he desires from us more than sacrifice. Again, to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with our Elohim. Next, we'll head back to the New Testament and read 1 Corinthians 13:2. "And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. Love suffers long and is kind or merciful. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked and thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity or sin, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails." Matthew 23:23. "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay the tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and faith. These you ought to have done without leaving the others undone. So he's not saying that as long as you're merciful, everything is grand. But he's saying that mercy is the most important thing. Love is the most important thing. But we should love each other and we should follow his commands, because basically his commands do teach us how to love one another. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt love your neighbor as yourself. Thou shalt not envy or be greedy or want things that your neighbor has. So basically his laws teach us how to love one another. But then we also have to be merciful to one another when we mess up. When others wrong us, maybe intentionally, maybe not intentionally, we need to have mercy in either case and remember that we are all struggling against the flesh. There are things that we wish to do in our mind and in our hearts and in our spirit, but our flesh is warring against that. And so we have to have mercy on one another. And so this brings me also to Shabbat. Again, Yeshua was talking to the Pharisees on Shabbat about being merciful when his disciples were doing something that they thought was against the laws of Shabbat. We should not be judging others in what they occasionally do or don't do. But maybe we do need to err on the side of mercy so that we don't drive our children away from Shabbat, away from Yahweh and Yeshua, thinking that he is not merciful, that he does not care about their desires and their aspirations. So maybe we need to take those things to prayer and see if once in a while, maybe it would be okay to allow our children to do something that we normally wouldn't think is okay on Shabbat. So let's finish out this message with Psalms 104, praising our Abba. Bless Yahweh, O my soul. O Yahweh, my Elohim, you are very great. You are clothed with honor and majesty, who cover yourself with light as with a garment, who stretch out the heavens like a curtain. He lays the beams of his upper chambers in waters, who makes the clouds his chariot, who walks on the wings of the wind, who makes his angels spirits, his ministers a flame of fire. You who laid the foundations of the earth so that it should not be moved forever. You covered it with the deep as with a garment. The waters stood above the mountains. At your rebuke they fled. At the voice of your thunder they hastened away. They went up over the mountains. They went down into the valleys, to the place which you founded for them. You have set a boundary that they may not pass over, that they may not return to cover the earth. He sends the springs into the valleys. They flow among the hills. They give drink to every beast of the field. The wild donkeys quench their thirst. By them the birds of the heavens have their home. They sing among the branches. He waters the hills from his upper chambers. The earth is satisfied with the fruit of your works. He causes the grass to grow for the cattle and vegetation for the service of man, that he may bring forth food from the earth and wine that makes glad the heart of man, oil to make his face shine, and bread which strengthens a man's heart. The trees of Yahweh are full of sap, the cedars of Lebanon which he planted, where the birds make their nests. The stork has her home in the fir trees. The high hills are for the wild goats. The cliffs are a refuge for the rock badgers. He appointed the moon for seasons. The sun knows its going down. You make darkness, and it is night, in which all the beasts of the forest creep about. The young lions roar after their prey and seek their food from Elohim. When the sun rises, they gather together and lie down in their dens. Man goes out to his work and to his labor until the evening. O Yahweh, how manifold are your works! In wisdom you have made them all. The earth is full of your possessions. This great and wide sea, in which are innumerable teeming things, living things both small and great, there the ships sail about. There is that Leviathan which you have made to play there. These all wait for you, that you may give them their food in due season. What you give them, they gather in. You open your hand, they are filled with good. You hide your face, they are troubled. You take away their breath, they die and return to the dust. You send forth your spirit, they are created, and you renew the face of the earth. May the glory of Yahweh endure forever. May Yahweh rejoice in his works. He looks down on the earth and it trembles. He touches the hills and they smoke. I will sing to Yahweh as long as I live. I will sing praise to my Elohim while I have being. May my meditation be sweet to him. I will be glad in Yahweh. May sinners be consumed from the earth and the wicked be no more. Bless Yahweh, O my soul. Praise Yahweh. O give thanks to Yahweh. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the peoples. Sing to him. Sing psalms to him. Talk of all his wonderful works. Glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those rejoice who seek Yahweh. Seek Yahweh and his strength. Seek his face evermore. Remember his marvelous works which he has done, his wonders and the judgments of his mouth. O seed of Abraham, his servant, you children of Jacob, his chosen ones, he is Yahweh our Elohim. His judgments are in all the earth. He remembers his covenant forever, the word which he commanded for 1,000 generations, the covenant which he made with Abraham and his oath to Isaac, and confirmed it to Jacob for a statute, to Israel as an everlasting covenant, saying, to you I will give the land of Canaan, as an allotment of your inheritance, when they were few in number, indeed very few, and strangers in it. When they went from one nation to another, from one kingdom to another people, he permitted no one to do them wrong. Yes, he rebuked kings for their sakes, saying, do not touch my anointed ones, and do not my prophets no harm. Moreover, he called for a famine in the land. He destroyed all the provision of bread. He sent a man before them, Joseph, who was sold as a slave. They hurt his feet with fetters. He was laid in irons until the time that his word came to pass. The word of Yahweh tested him. The king sent and released him. The ruler of the people let him go free. He made him lord of his house and ruler of all of his possessions, to bind his princes at his pleasure and teach his elders wisdom. Israel also came into Egypt, and Jacob dwelt in the land of Ham. He increased his people greatly and made them stronger than their enemies. He turned their heart to hate his people, to deal craftily with his servants. He sent Moses his servant and Aaron, whom he had chosen. They performed his signs among them and wonders in the land of Ham. He sent darkness and made it dark, and they did not rebel against his word. He turned their waters into blood and killed their fish. Their land abounded with frogs, even in the chambers of their kings. He spoke, and there came swarms of flies and lice in all their territory. He gave them hail for rain and flaming fire in their land. He struck their vines also and their fig trees and splintered the trees of their territory. He spoke, and locusts came, young locusts without number, and ate up all the vegetation in their land and devoured the fruit of their ground. He also destroyed all the firstborn in their land, the first of all their strength. He also brought them out with silver and gold, and there was none feeble among his tribes. Egypt was glad when they departed, for the fear of them had fallen upon them. He spread a cloud for a covering and a fire to give light in the night. The people asked, and he brought quail and satisfied them with the bread of heaven. He opened the rock and water gushed out. It ran in dry places like a river. For he remembered his holy promise and Abraham his servant, and brought out his people with joy, his chosen ones with gladness. He gave them the lands of the Gentiles, and they inherited the labor of the nations, that they might observe his statutes and keep his laws. Praise Yahweh. Praise Yahweh. O give thanks to Yahweh, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Remember, Yahweh desires mercy more than sacrifice. Please visit our website at www.hiswordheals.com. Blessings and shalom to all of you and everyone in your home.
I shout for joy at the works of your hands. O Yahweh, how great are your works!